All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful July 23rd, 2016. I'm going to be joined by assistant professional at Deepdale Golf Club, Ben Poland, after the break. Looking forward to talking to him as he embarks on another PGA Championship. So it'll be interesting to get his thoughts and his perspective from the previous one to this year's tournament and it being a sort of a home game for him a little bit. So looking forward to talking to him about that and his season thus far. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined on the line by assistant professional at Deepdale Golf Club, Ben Poland. Ben, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing just fine. How are you, Anthony?
Doing fantastic. Another beautiful weekend here on Long Island. Not a bad summer. It's been pretty good.
A little hot right now.
But yeah, this past couple of days have been pretty. It's been a good hot stretch, but you know, unlike you guys, some of you guys who fly south for the winter, we're stuck here, and so I'm gonna take the heat and enjoy every bit of it. How about that?
Yeah, that's fine. It's golfable. That's what I say.
So, you know, I wanted to talk to you before we get to the nuts and bolts. I want talk to you a little bit about your introduction to golf. Who introduced you to the game of golf? I always find that to be an interesting story, and was just curious on and how that. You fell in love with the game of golf.
Yeah, it's my grandfather, actually. When I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, got me a set on my birthday a while ago. Probably about 20 years ago, almost today. And he didn't really play himself, but he just, you know, liked the fact that I play sports. And I played a lot of other sports growing up, basketball, baseball, hockey. And golf was kind of just like another hobby until I started playing a little more with my uncle and my dad on the weekends during the summers. And then it kind of rolled into middle school, high school, and started to try out for some teams, and it went off from there.
How long until you started beating people like your father and your grandfather? And
it didn't take too long. They were very good.
And what was it about golf that you liked? Because obviously growing up in Minnesota, hockey's a very big deal. But what what was it about golf and let's say or not hockey, I guess?
I like the pace of it. I mean, I like watching hockey. It's really fast and everything, but I like being able to think shots through. I love the individual challenge of it. And I liked it because it was really difficult. And I never really liked to fail, and golf is obviously a sport, especially when you're a beginner. You fail quite a bit, and you work on figuring out why you did that and try not to do it the next time. And I really like that challenge. And with the instruction that I was receiving and a lot of time that I could put into it, started to get a lot better, and I kind of got hooked to that.
Yeah, hockey, much more reactive. Golf, much more, static, if you will.
Yeah.
And you really have to, learn how to think. And I think for me, and I think for a lot of athletes, I think they have a hard time adjusting to that point because they're, you know, a lot of these athletes with the, and I don't think it's any surprise that pitchers, because of the nature of that position, become very good golfers. I know a lot of hockey players become good golfers, but they also have the, you know, being a professional athlete, they obviously are tremendous athletes, being probably 1% in the world at what they do. Yeah. I think especially professional athletes coming from big time reactive sports like a football, like a hockey, I think it takes a lot of time for them to slow down their mind, so to speak, because it's something that that you're not used to doing. I know that was the biggest hurdle for me, was slowing everything down, because I had been predominantly a football and lacrosse player.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you definitely have to calm your mind when you're playing golf, because there's a lot of downtime. You hit a shot and then you walk 200 yards or whatever it is to the next one, and you have all the time to be thinking about what you did or not thinking about it. It's, you have to find out what you want to do with all the time that you have. But yeah, a lot can happen. Like in a football game, there's only like, I mean, it's 3 hours long, but there's only like 3 minutes of action. And the same with the golf game, the swing only takes maybe a little more than a second. And, you know, you make 80 of them, 90 of them, whatever around, that's not very long.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, there is a lot of downtime. But like in football, there's someone telling you what to do every 35 seconds, you know.
That's true. Yeah, in golf,
you have to, you're the coach and the player, which is, you know, quite different than being a simple, just a person taking orders.
Exactly. Yep.
Do you work on that with a lot of, how much do you, since we're just talking about it, when you're working with clients or people, how much of that is, do you think you spend on the physical versus the mental?
It depends on the student. Some people need more work in other areas. It just depends on the student. If somebody walks in and I know that they, you know, can hit the golf ball reasonably well, but they're complaining about certain scores or, you know, a certain attitude or a shot that they're hitting, I'll kind of explore the mental side and see what's going on in their head as far as, you know, what they're trying to do. And then if it's obviously a big problem physically, like, you know, the golf ball is just hooking off the planet or slicing or they can't hit it solid, we'll just take a look at the swing. I mean, there's definitely both.
Yeah, it's definitely good golf requires a certain symmetry between the two, and it's very hard to find that balance of the yin and the yang between the mental and the physical, because often one affects the other, or vice versa, and it's difficult to, and a lot of times that balance becomes imbalanced even within a round, and it's sort of hard to navigate when you're playing.
Yeah, I know that game.
Absolutely. Let's move on to let's talk about this year a little bit, and you know, how has your year been going, and has it met expectations? We'll get to the championship in a second, but just in terms of your year, is this your second or PGA championship you've qualified for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I played Whistling Straits last year and then Balti this year.
Right. So, okay, that's what I thought. So your second championship. So how has your year been going in terms of, you know, with this – I know you've probably had the PGA Championship on your mind as a goal. Besides that, you know, how has your year been going?
It's been going well. I feel my game feels like it has improved. I made an equipment change over the winter, and I've been slowly, I mean, I'm used to it now, but there's an adjustment period, definitely, like there is for most people, but I know it's for the better. And I can definitely tell in certain areas of my game, but when you focus on one part of your game and start not doing another part, you may see a strength slowly kind of fade away and maybe become a weakness, and that was kind of my case in the last 4 or 5 months or so. Hitting a golf ball off the tee is usually a strength of mine.
Right.
Kind of a weapon of my game, and other areas like, you know, iron play, long iron play, I was really bad. And right now, it's the opposite. Like, the irons are my strength and struggling to get off the tee. And that's kind of what hindered my scores from being better. They haven't been horrible
right
this year. They haven't been bad either. They've been pretty good, but they could be a lot better if I get that down. And it's getting better, too. Yesterday, I spent some good time working with a couple guys, and we figured some stuff out.
What was the equipment? Can you talk about the equipment change at all? Or
Yeah. I switched to the brand PXG.
Oh, you did. That's
you guys are familiar with that.
Sure. We've had Woody Lash and Pete Scalf on, and we talked a lot about that. That company is really doing some nice work.
Yeah. We brought it into Detailed Golf Shop, and it makes sense to have a professional on staff kind of, you know, coincide with that introduction. Mm-hmm. And I made the switch mostly because performance-wise, I was a lot happier with it. And I tested it this winter side-by-side with my other equipment, and it was a lot better. And I was really excited to start it. And it's fun to be part of something that's kind of just starting up the way these guys are.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you like in particular about the equipment? Then, there's a lot of equipment out there, obviously. What was it about PXG that you liked?
The thing that I struggled with, like I was saying, mostly were my irons.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of what everyone was talking about with these clubs. And when I tried them out, my problem usually was I spun the ball too much.
Right.
And these clubs are a little stronger lofted, which will naturally bring the spin down for each iron, but they actually launch higher than I launched my other irons as well. So it's a win-win scenario. I pretty much gained almost a club with my irons, and they're hitting the green nice and soft. They're coming in at a nice angle, so I don't have to worry about them bounding over the green or anything. And it makes the golf a little easier when you can hit an 8-iron instead of a 7-iron, and especially on the professional level, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. The green conditions, the course setup a little different than your average golf course, that's for sure, especially something like the PGA Championship. You must be looking forward to that this year, being a little bit of a home game and whatnot. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, but you know what, let's take a little break right before we get to that, and we'll spend some time on that in the second half. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by assistant professional at Deepdale Golf Club, Ben Poland. Ben, a local game for you this year at the PGA. You qualified for the PGA Championship this year once again. You're second, as we said earlier. Your thoughts initially on playing at Balti. Nice little home game for you.
I'm really excited, obviously. Last year, Wisconsin was kind of close to home originally, being from Minnesota, and this year it's close to Deepdale, which is probably what I consider my second home. Been here for a while now, and it's nice. The Baltusrol's just another classic, great Northeast golf course. And it's a Tillinghast, and we just played Bethpage in the New York State Open this past week, and it was a great preparation for this tournament. It's going to be really fun. I like being able to drive to the event instead of having to take a flight.
Yeah, you're a little spoiled now that I think about it. You got all these home games. at some point, you're going to have to travel, you know.
Yeah, I'm getting used to that, going up to Canada a couple times this year. And I like that aspect of it as well, but it's always nice to be a little closer to home.
You know, it's interesting. I was going to ask you what you learned from the first one going into this one, but now you have a whole nother, I guess you could say, something to deal with here with the equipment change and whatnot. But so how do you manage your goals and expectations from last year to this year going into to Balti?
I think the goals will be similar. I mean, it's always, you know, pretty simple. Just play as best as I could possibly play and prepare as well as I can prepare and get everything, you know, comfortable and confident leading up to the event and just let it happen. But having the experience of, like, where to go and what to do and how to deal with, you know, all the people and all that's going on around you, there's so much happening at a major championship, and I had no idea what it was like until last year. So this year, I think I'll be a little more comfortable, and yeah, it should be good.
How much did last year was, like you said, you're probably, not to say a deer in the headlights, but there's just, it's difficult because you want to soak in your first major championship, and yet it can be a little bit of a distraction. How do you manage both enjoying and staying focused at the same time?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you talk to most guys whose first PGA Tour event was a major, like guys that have qualified for the U.S. Open and everything, everything is, it's like a circus. There's so many things happening around you, so many distractions, and being able to kind of do your own thing, that's definitely a skill that you can acquire from doing it many times, and the experience is huge. And this year I'm going to try and, you know, soak it in even more, watch a couple of the other guys and how they like to handle themselves. And the other great part about it is you're playing alongside the best players in the world. It's a good way to measure your own game.
Sure. What do you think, how much experience do you have at Balti to begin with?
How much experience do I have at Balti?
Yeah, have you played have you played that course prior to, let's say, even you qualifying?
Yeah, I played the lower course years ago on my way back home to Minnesota after an internship. And we played the upper course, a few other assistants, and we played the upper course last year. So I've been there twice.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of know where the golf shop is and the clubhouse and everything. It's definitely a good feeling to know where things are, but I can't really remember the course hole by hole, the lower course that is, but I have a feeling once I get out there, it'll come back to me.
So when do you plan on going out for a couple of practice rounds before that week?
Next week. So I think I'm just going to go. I'm probably going to leave tomorrow morning and get started because we already have a couple of practice rounds scheduled on Monday and Tuesday. And it should be, maybe Wednesday as well. I'll probably get 2.5, maybe 3 rounds in.
Okay. Who are you, the practice rounds, who are you playing with? Are you allowed to, are you playing with any professionals or just local professionals?
Yeah, on Monday, I think a couple of us, Brian Gaffney,
yep.
Mark Brown, and Dobbins, Matt Dobbins and I, we're going to go tee it up early on Monday.
And will there be a little wager going on between the four of you? Or
Probably. Probably.
Who decides what teams, what the teams are going to be?
I don't know. I'll leave that to those guys.
Leave that to the professionals?
Yeah, we'll leave that to the seniors. We'll call them that.
I'm sure they'll appreciate that. How has been your prep in terms of getting ready for the PGA Championship? You said you spent some time on the range yesterday and figuring some stuff out. What are the types of things that you're trying to figure out? I'm always interested in figuring out how you're working on your game and how people are working on their trying to fix their swing.
You definitely think about the golf course and what you need to do well at that course. And, you know, usually it's similar at every golf course that you go to. But, you know, when guys are preparing for the British Open versus the Masters, they're going to be probably working on different things leading up to the event, because both courses, I mean, they all require the skills, but some may stress other skills more than others. So, you know that, you know, an A.W. Tillinghast design is probably going to put some stress on ball striking. You're going to have to hit the fairway. There'll be penalties for not hitting fairways, whether it's trees blocking your approach shots or long, difficult rough and well-protected greens with bunkers. They have to, you know, get the ball way up in the air to hold the green. And putting's always huge. Your putting has to be really consistent, and you have to be confident with that club leading into any tournament. So definitely putting the time into that is important for me.
How much did you mention the New York State Open at Bethpage Black? Obviously, both Tillinghast, Balti and the Black being Tillinghast, they're both kind of big ballparks, so to speak. So there are some similarities. Discuss a little bit about that. You know, where maybe it does, where they are similar, and where they tend to be a little different.
The fairways at Bethpage are a lot narrower.
Yep.
I think the fairways at Balti are going to look a lot wider after playing this past week. I, having not played it in a while, I can't really go into like the details of their similarities or differences. But
right,
all I know is that the rough's going to be really high for a major championship, and Darrell Kessler, my boss, always says that when you're playing a major, you need to really work on the short game, because whether it's putting or just your wedge shots, you need to make bogeys less frequent, because if you hit it in the rough, most of the time you're probably not going to be able to hit the green. You're going to have to pitch out. And if you can get pretty good at getting up and down from 60, 50, 40 yards from the fairway, you'll have a lot better chance. So that's another thing that you just need to grind on.
I think when people watch professional golfers, when people go to their first major championship, when people go to their first standard tournament, I think, yeah, people can be a little wowed by how far they hit the ball, but I think the educated golfer really pays attention to players getting up and down around the greens and their touch within 100 yards as being something that really stares back at them if they're really paying attention. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. They're good at everything, obviously, on the PGA Tour, and there's some guys that hit the golf ball off the tee unlike anybody else in the world out there. There's probably five or six guys that really separate themselves with the driver, but almost all of them are really, really sharp with their wedges. And that's where, I mean, the proximity on tour from 100 yards is a lot better than the average golfer. And you just watch how they flight their shots, how they control their spin, and how they shape some of them. It's very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back. We'll wrap things up. We'll have a little fun, play a little pick your foursome and pick a golf course type of thing.
Okay.
You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia, talking with assistant professional at Deepdale Golf Club, Ben Pollan, who is qualified for his second PGA Championship, so he's looking forward to that. Ben, let's finish up with a little pick your dream foursome, and if you were going to pick, let's say, let's pick a foursome that of people who could be, with us, not with us, playing on tour, not playing on tour, who would be your foursome?
Well, the first thing that came to my head when you said that was probably my mom, dad, and brother, just because I probably haven't played golf with them in 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Just because I haven't been home during the season. But professionally, like professional golfers.
Yes.
I thought it would be really cool to play with Ben Hogan, number one. Daryl Kessner, because I don't get to play with him very often, maybe once or twice a year. And Tiger Woods, probably.
Tiger. He's out of commission, though.
Yeah, he hits it. right now? Yeah.
Yes. I think a lot of people would pay. I if you could ask Ben Hogan a question or... if you could ask Ben Hogan something about the golf swing, what would you ask him?
I don't know. I would just love to watch him play around the golf and just see how he gets around. And my question probably after he hits his shot was probably, I just want to know what's going on inside his head,
like right.
What he was trying to do, what was the mental process, that sort of thing. Because everyone talked about how his focus was, how he was the hawk. Like, he couldn't break his focus, and he looked so intense. And I just want to know what was going on inside his mind when he's if you're coming down the stretch of a major with a lead or a couple shots back. Like, what's he thinking?
Yeah, he's pretty intense. By all accounts, an intense individual. So I'm not sure I would be. I think I'd be a little afraid to ask him a question. I think you were right in the first place to say you just watch. Where would you guys play? Let's say other than Deepdale, and you can pick a golf course anywhere in the world. Where would you bring your foursome?
Well, one of my favorite courses, if not my favorite, is probably Fisher's Island. Out there.
Yeah, that's. I've yet to play there. That's a fabulous golf course.
Yeah, it's a really good one. The character on every hole, it's tough to beat that one. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic answer. For people who don't know, Fisher's Island is just a tremendous golf course on the, you can't say it's on Long Island, but in the area, I would say, top three golf courses in the area.
It's tough to peg the top three because there's so many great ones in this area. But yeah, the in terms of top 100 rankings, it's up there.
Yeah, I was thinking top. In the local area, it's in your top five, no question. At least I would put it in my top five.
Absolutely.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's a real pleasure to talk to you and. Good luck this week, next week, I should say, technically. Looking forward to tracking your progress, and hopefully we'll have you back on after you make the cut, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, take care, Ben.
You too.
All right, that was Ben Poland, the assistant at Deepdale Golf Club, and he's playing in his second major championship this year at Baltusrol. We call it Balti for those in the know. But we wish him well. He's there with a host of metropolitan PGA professionals, as it seems to be every year. Quite a few make the cut or make the championship. So my best of luck to all of those guys who qualified, and we're looking forward to tracking their progress. And that's it for this week, folks. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Make sure you get out and play some golf, folks. Take care.